Well, g'day from down under, kids. Yes, I am standing here on a glorious day in Sydney Harbour. To my left, I have the gigantic Sydney Harbour Bridge, and to my right, I have the amazing architectural masterpiece, which proved to be a complete design nightmare. But I think you'll agree with me, it led to one of the world's most iconic buildings. Where am I? Of course, Sydney Opera House. And I'm about to go on a little tour around the Opera House and afterwards meet up with the lovely tour guide, Amanda. I'm sitting in the Joan Sutherland Theatre with the very lovely Amanda Hirst. Amanda, I have just finished your tour and I must say it was amazing. This has been the highlight of my trip to Sydney and I did the bridge last week.
Oh, wow. I'm honoured.
So in 1973, it was opened by the lovely Queen Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. And tell us the interesting story about Queen Elizabeth's dress.
She had to stand on the balcony to when she opened the Opera House, and being the practical woman that we all know her to be, we're told that she had lead curtain weights sewn into the hem of her skirt, just so with a sudden gust of wind we didn't get any unexpected surprises. So I'll always tell that one out on the balcony because everybody loves it.
And while we were on the balconies, you were standing on a beautiful purple carpet. Mm-hmm. But the purple carpet wasn't for everybody.
No.
What happened when Pavarotti came over?
So when Pavarotti was here, we organised a great welcome for him. There was a media conference. We had set it all up on the in the northern foyer of the concert hall, which is covered from ceiling to floor in purple carpet. And when we went to bring him down to the function, he was horrified. And we didn't know that in Italian theatre, they're very superstitious, and purple is very, very bad luck in Italian theatre. So he refused to step foot on the carpet. So fortunately, on the Opera Theatre side, or where we are now in the Joan Sutherland Theatre, the carpet's red, so we just had to move everything over to the other side. Both the Concert Hall and the Joan Sutherland Theatre, our two main theatres, are acoustic theatres, which means that you can perform in either theatre without the use of a microphone or without any amplification.
So the design is so sleek and the tiles are amazing. You can't see anything forms of like guttering or pipes. Where is everything if it rains?
Okay, so the tiles are actually Swedish tiles. It's interesting, the tiles themselves took 3 years to design and create. The original estimate for the length of time that the whole building would take was going to be 3 years. They're Swedish and they're self-cleaning tiles, so they've been coated with a slick that makes them self-cleaning. So the building, the exterior, has only been cleaned once in 40 years. Utzon wanted the whole design to look like a giant sculpture, so he didn't want any of those building elements on the outside. So he's basically put a building inside another building, and then he's run all of those building elements, the air conditioning, the pipes, the wires, underneath the shell, but on top of the theatres. So you have one covering the other. So the outside ends up being beautiful, a beautiful sculpture, and the inside is a functional theatre.
And there's 1,000 rooms below us, so these amazing buildings above that everybody can see, but below us there's 1,000 rooms.
Yeah, so that's also part of the sculptural design, is that usually when you're looking at a sculpture, it's usually sitting on a heavy podium base. And so what Utzon's done is very, very practical with this design. So in the base is where we have all of our office spaces, so over 1,000 rooms, offices, rehearsal rooms, preparation rooms, recording spaces, etc., all in the base. And then the performances take place under the shells. So preparation done in the base, and then performance in under the shells.
Now, I'm looking at the stage. You were telling me there that there's no wings in this particular room. So what they've done is they've created their own wings with the elephants. But I can see all these beautiful dresses hanging from the ceiling. That's obviously not a design. What's that about?
They're actually sort of specific to this performance, The King and I. As you can see, we have a lot of space up in, because of the design of the house, up under the shell. So there's a lot of height to make use of, not so much width. And because we have some very quick changes in this particular performance, and because these very large hoop dresses, it's difficult to store them in a dressing room. So what we do in this performance is the performers have to very quickly move to back of the stage, which is a covered dressing area in this instance, and the dresses are lowered from the ceiling over the top of the performers, and then when they finish their piece, then they very quickly move back, and then the dresses are taken off them and stored up in the ceiling again.
Shall we dance on a bright cloud of music? Shall we fly? Shall we dance? Shall we then say goodnight and mean goodbye?
So you literally have another tour to do. You are just fast-tracking your tours.
Yes, I've got 5 minutes.
The final question is, it was supposed to be $7 million and 3 years to complete. Mm-hmm. Tell me, what was the actual, the cost and how many years?
Yes, so it was supposed to take 3 years. It ended up taking 16 years to complete. And instead of $7 million, it cost $102 million. So, very different to the original estimate. But there's quite a funny story because, you know, they were trying to work out how on earth we were going to pay for this building. Someone came up with the idea of an Opera House lottery where you could buy lottery tickets called Opera House lottery tickets, that they would raise the money as a result of this lottery. And as it turns out, due to the profits of this lottery system, the Opera House was fully paid off 18 months after we opened.
Wow.
So we have to thank the gamblers of New South Wales. For
what did the people win in the lottery? What did they win?
They won money. So it was initially it was £100,000, which is about $200,000 at the time, which was, you know, a lot of money. It was very, very popular. And I still remember growing up, my mum saying to me, if someone did us a favour, we'll just buy them an Opera House lottery ticket and put it in a card. Everyone used to do that and used to check your winning numbers in the newspaper. And it was really exciting. It was a great idea because I end up paying for the Opera House, so we're very lucky.
Well, thank you for such an amazing tour.
My pleasure.
I'm in this incredible building, which is decades ahead of its time, so
yes,
I don't even know 60 plus years ago how they even put this together, but I've had a wonderful tour and very informative. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure having you, Marcus.
Thank you.
All right, I've got to get back to my tour.